This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Officers at one of the busiest southern U.S. border crossings dealing with an angry mob just hours ago. U.S. border agents in Texas say the unruly group of people from El Salvador and Cuba were rushing the port of entry at the border in El Paso. Reports are the agents had to fire tear gas to get the mob to back off. The port of entry has since reopened. A report in the New York Times claims the White House is considering a deal where North Korea would stop production of new nuclear material in an effort to jumpstart negotiations on denuclearization. The National Security Advisor John Bolton denies the report. Retired Army General Stanley McChrystal says when it comes to North Korea, the U.S. probably should lower its expectations.
If we can maintain stability, I think that's about as good as we get.
And this is USA Radio News.
This is Dr. Howard, founder and formulator of Balance of Nature. We're changing America, one life at a time.
I wish they would have me do a commercial. I'm from the New York area, and we don't trust anybody. And I need to tell you, I certainly didn't trust you guys at first. After all, you're like out of Utah. I was like, what is in Utah, really? Then I heard some little old man saying, oh, I'm not fruits and babies, and da-da-da-da. And I was so, you know, when you're in pain, you will try anything. And I said, let me try it. But I need to tell you that I'm jogging now. I didn't think I'd ever be able to do that again.
Through Memorial Day weekend, you can receive a $20 discount and free shipping on any first preferred order of Balance of Nature. Again, this special radio offer will only be available through May 27th. Call 1-800-246-8751. Or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
Wall Street gets a chance to react on Monday after the U.S. and China put their trade war on hold. Economic advisor Larry Kudlow tells CBS's Face the Nation that President Trump is hopeful about negotiations with Beijing.
He said, no additional tariffs for now. So he's going good faith to see how these talks go, to see if China delivers on an early agriculture promise. Let's call it an early harvest. But that may be up for grabs. We will see. No one can predict with certainty.
Election security is the focus of the latest Democratic Weekly Address. Congresswoman Zoe Lofgren of California spoke of election security and the need to pass the SAFE Act.
We call upon Leader Mitch McConnell and the Senate to join with House Democrats and pass these essential bipartisan bills. Together, we can and must defend our national security.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Motorists in three states are quickly running out of time to fill their tanks before gasoline tax increases on July 1st. John Clemens reports.
The states claim they need the additional revenue to repair roads and for mass transit programs. Motorists are filling their tanks now before the increases go into effect July 1st. Patrick DeHaan of GasBuddy.com tells us there's going to be pain at the pump.
Illinois is raising its state tax 19 cents per gallon. Gas prices there will jump. Ohio is raising their tax 10.5 cents per gallon. And California is raising its gasoline tax 5.6 cents on July 1st. So all three of those states are going to see hefty jumps in gas prices.
I'm John Clemens.
President Trump has told Russia not to meddle in the next election. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham tells CBS's Face the Nation that the president's approach to Vladimir Putin was proper.
I'm not so sure rebuking Putin in front of a bunch of cameras does much good. What hurts him is when you hit him in the pocketbook, his oligarch friends are having a hard time placing their money around the world. We put tremendous sanctions on the Russian economy, particularly in the energy area, and it's biting Russia. So actions mean more than anything in this part of the world.
Tickets with you on your computer or mobile device and listen anytime at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA.
Live. Hey, we roll. That's what it's all about. I mean, after all, look at all the trillions of dollars we're spending for this government. Shouldn't we get a little return on investment? I mean, after all, it's a government of, for, by, we the people. In theory, application, another story, but it's up to us, we the people, to do something about it. Good to have you with us. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Chris DeRose is joining us in just a moment. National best-selling author of The President's War and Founding Rivals. His brand new book, Star Spangled Scandal, Sex, Murder, and the Trial That Changed America. Chris, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Hey, good to have you here. What a story. I mean, you know, we talk about things being so crazy and hyper-partisan, you know, in today's 21st century political process. But all we need to do is look at our history, and you can get it all. Sex, murder, and as your book says, the trial that changed America and the Star-Spangled Scandal, right?
It's all right there. Everything you would see and expect from a modern scandal. Mm-hmm. It all started with the Sickles trial, blurring the line between entertainment and news and this fixation on scandal. You know, you've got a congressman who kills the U.S. attorney for Washington, D.C., wow, right across from the White House for having an affair with his wife. And the U.S. attorney's no ordinary victim. He's the son of Francis Scott Key, author of our national anthem. Mm-hmm. And so he's American royalty. And so you have this congressman who then goes on trial for his life in a sensational 20-day trial where you have Edwin Stanton, who goes on to be Abraham Lincoln's Secretary of War, leading the defense. It's the original dream team. So eat your heart out, Johnny Cochran. These
exactly.
guys did it first.
Exactly.
It's just an incredible story, and I was so glad to be able to share it with people.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're talking about 1859 here. So on the verge of a historic, I mean, all these historic events happening in our country, you have this story coming into play. I'm talking about having your hands full, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this is how I actually got interested in the story. Mm-hmm. I was writing a book called The President's War about the five former presidents who lived to see our Civil War. And I'm reading through their letters and diaries, and they're appropriately focused on all the major problems that the country's going through in 1859, mm-hmm. slavery, sectional tensions. And then all of a sudden, all they want to talk about is the Sickles affair. And so I had to stop and say, well, you know, what is the Sickles affair that right. has all these former presidents and the rest of the country upset? And then I got into it, and I said, okay, that's a pretty amazing story.
It is amazing. And to think that, I didn't get this in school. I didn't hear about it.
Yeah, I think it largely gets overshadowed by the Civil War,
mm-hmm.
Because 2 years later you have the election of Abraham Lincoln and firing on Fort Sumter. And so I think to a large degree it gets overshadowed, but this is really where our modern media feeding frenzy began, our obsession that carries to this day with sex scandals and with true crime. I mean, this is the beginning of the whole true crime genre and America's obsession, you know, with daily coverage, verbatim trial transcripts printed in every newspaper, over the Telegraph. I mean, it all starts here.
Yeah. Well, as you write, 1859, you got Congressman Daniel Sickles and his gorgeous wife, Teresa. They're the toast of D.C. society, right?
They're at the very top of the social pyramid. He lived on Lafayette Square across from the White House. And the way to get ahead in Washington is to throw the best parties. And so you had all the biggest names, the president, senators, diplomats, congressmen, cabinet members, all showing up on any given night at the Sickles house for a party. And you know, he thinks he's on top of the world. He's moving ahead in the world as a congressman. He has the cream of D.C. society coming over to his house. And then he finds out through an anonymous letter that his wife is having an affair with the U.S. attorney.
Well, and the thing that happened here is that here he is. He's busy about the people's business. And here you've got his gorgeous wife becomes arm candy for the attorney general, right? And, you know, and this is kind of like left unchecked until, before you know it, the natural attraction is going to happen. It's inevitable here. I mean, you read the story and you say, what was this knucklehead thinking?
Yeah, you know, Sickles certainly trusted the wrong guy. You know, he had every reason to believe that Key was his friend. He had interceded with the president on Key's behalf to help him keep his job as U.S. attorney. And to pay for all these grand parties, Sickles had to keep his law practice going in New York. So he's a congressman. He has to go back to his district anyway. But he also has to maintain time going to court in New York to pay for all these parties and underwrite their social life in Washington. And so he actually is relieved to know that Teresa's being escorted to events and looked after by their very good mutual friend. And, of course, put his trust in the wrong guy. But I'm certain that played no small role in Sickles deciding to do what he ultimately did when he found out.
Well, and as you said, it's not like Philip was, you know, some ugly guy. I mean, he's a good-looking guy, too, right?
Yeah, he was considered the handsomest man in all Washington, D.C.
Wow. And so here he is with this breathtaking wife of a congressman, and they're spending a lot of time together. I mean, they're doing a lot of social events, and, you know, in a sense, I mean, you know, Philip's happy to represent the senior Sickles, you know, at these events and keeping his wife company, right?
Absolutely, and, you know, Sickles felt like he was the last person to know, and I think that's a pretty accurate statement. In fact, a lot of the first accounts that hit the press, the reporters alluded to the fact that this was a very badly kept secret in Washington, D.C. And some of Key's friends tried to talk to him and say, you know, you're being very indiscreet about this, and this is going to cause a problem. You know, if you can't do the right thing because it's the right thing to do, maybe do the right thing because it might get you killed, you know,
to
keep doing what you're doing. And at first, Key completely brushed it off. He denied the affair. And then as time went on, he started bragging about the affair.
And
he said, I'm prepared for anything that Sickles decides to do. He said, Sickles is a damn Yankee and he won't do a thing about it. That was a bad prediction.
Yeah. No, that is what happens historically in these crimes of passion, you know, that take place. They make people do things that heretofore you wouldn't think would be possible, that would be out of character because, I mean, the emotional stress that it must have caused on Mr. Sickles is unbelievable. Now, this true story of murder and the historic trial that we're going to get into in the next segment, brought to vivid life, you know, by you, Chris, you utilized Mrs. Sickles' own writings and some other primary sources in order to put all this together, right?
Yeah, I had access to her letters and Daniel Sickles' own writings. And this was the most covered event in human history up to that time. So I had no shortage of newspaper articles, of reporters who were right there in the courtroom.
And what did her writings again confirmed that this affair was taking place? I mean, were there actual love letters to her and, you know, and Philip back and forth?
She was smart enough not to put that in writing.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, wise woman. We're talking with Chris DeRose, his brand new book, Star Spangled Scandal. We'll get into the sex, murder, and the trial that changed America. Yes, in 1859, right before the major civil war that took place. I'm Bill Martinez, 15 minutes after the top of the hour. Stay with us. We've got more from Chris after this.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. And there's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Fresh. fresh and independent, just the way you like to hear from us. I'm Bill Martinez. 19 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. Every day, you get the full list of all the great guests that we have on the show to share with you. And so you can share it with your friends, your family, and listen in live there or any one of the 300-plus markets that you can access Bill Martinez Live in. Chris DeRose continues with us, national best-selling author of The President's War and Founding Rivals. His brand new book, Star Spangled Scandal. Oof, I'm telling you, this is a page turner, and it is hot. It is smoking, let me tell you. Sex, Murder, and the Trial That Changed America. And you thought it was the Civil War, but actually, this was, in a sense, kind of a preamble to it all, was it not, Chris?
Yeah, you know, you really have a lot of the people who will go on to play major roles in the Civil War involved in this case, not the least of which is Daniel Sickles. I was actually speaking in Gettysburg last night as part of their anniversary commemorations. You know, Daniel Sickles is the critical player on day two of the Battle of Gettysburg, one of the most controversial decisions in American military history. But before he could get to there, he had to survive a trial for murdering his wife's lover in front of the White House.
Yeah, I mean, here he is, he and his wife. I mean, they're the socialites of D.C., and then here comes his friend, Francis Key's son, Philip, and he's escorting Sickles' wife, and they get too close, and, of course, Sickles finds out about it, and they have a confrontation. So break that down. What happened?
Sure. So Sickles gets this anonymous letter and has to investigate. And so he goes to his friend George Wooldridge, and they decide to launch a stakeout because the letter warns him that he and his wife have rented a house in Washington, D.C. in the neighborhood north of the White House, so where the old Washington Post building is now. And so they go on a stakeout and try to see if they can catch them in the act.
Oh, wow.
And what they find in the process of their investigation is that, yes, it's Key who has rented out this house. He always shows up there with the same woman, but the woman wears a veil. And so you don't know who she is. But they're able to figure out that it's her based on the description of her clothing and a very specific veil that she owned and wore.
Oh.
And so he's in his house on a Sunday afternoon. His wife has confessed to him. He sends for his friends. They're trying to talk him off a ledge. And then enter Barton Key walking into Lafayette Square with waving his handkerchief, which was the sign for Teresa to go meet him at their designated house.
Oh, wow. And this wasn't a sign of surrender. This is a sign of come hither, huh?
You know what? That's well said, yeah, because he has no idea what's going on inside the house. He has no idea that Sickles knows. He has no idea that Teresa's lying on the floor of her bedroom, sobbing because she's just confessed to her husband about this affair. Sickles' friends are trying to talk him off the ledge. And then he keeps walking past his house once, then twice, then again, waving his handkerchief at the house. And finally, Sickles goes out to meet him there across the street from the White House in Lafayette Square.
Oh. So here it is. The jig is up, as they say. And here you've got a jilted husband and a lover who doesn't even understand, doesn't even quite suspect that something is about to come falling on him.
Yeah, he has no idea. In fact, Sickles sees him, and he says, you know, hi, how you doing? And he says, you have dishonored my house, and you must die. And he goes, for what?
Well, I got to keep the con, yeah, right?
Yeah, he kept it up for about 60 more seconds.
And so here it is. This act of passion takes him out. The very thing, interestingly enough, that Philip Barton Key said that he didn't have the guts, that he wouldn't do it. Well, guess what? He found out differently.
He thoroughly misjudged him. He found out the hard way.
So now, okay, so he kills Philip Barton Keyes, and now we got to go to trial. What happens?
Yeah, so Sickles gets thrown in jail in Washington, D.C., which was the most horrendous place in the city. If you think about all the things that congressmen like to spend money on, you know, money back home in their district, money to help get reelected, the Washington jail is pretty low on the list of priorities.
Right.
And so Stickles gets into his cell and he asks the jailer if he doesn't have anything better. And the jailer says, this is the best you congressmen have afforded us. And so Stickles literally made his own bed there.
Yes.
And he meets with his all-star legal team who start getting assembled within hours of the shooting. And so they decide that they're going to try to proceed to trial as fast as possible because the public initially said, you know what, good for Stickles. He was sleeping with his wife. But the more people thought about it, they said, you know, we can't just have a society where people can go around shooting each other because they believe that they've, you know, they've done something wrong. And so the longer the trial stretches out, the defense team thinks that Stickles will end up being hanged at the end.
Oh, wow. So then what happens?
So Stickles' attorneys argue several things. Number one, they argue, contrary to the law, that the jury should just nullify, issue a nullification with its verdict and just say a man who kills the seducer of his wife is no criminal, and you should let him go on that basis.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, if that's not good enough, Stickles was temporarily insane because people were talking to Stickles before the shooting. They were talking to him immediately afterward when he went to the home of the attorney general to turn himself in. So he's clearly not insane. So they argue that, well, he's temporarily insane, and this is the first real use of that temporary insanity defense.
Exactly. Now, tell us about the mysterious letter and who sent it.
So that's one of the most interesting parts of the book to me, because Stickles gets this letter. He's blissfully unaware of the affair, gets this letter. He's able to corroborate the information in the letter. He kills Barton Key. We find out during the trial that Barton Key received a similar letter the same day warning him that Stickles knew about the affair and to arm himself. So if you look at this, this seems like someone who wanted both men out of the way and perhaps someone who was in love with Teresa.
I was going to say, is there another party yet?
I think so. There's a guy named Stephen Beekman who we know was stalking Teresa. And he was one of the first people to discover the affair because he was following Teresa even when she went on rides outside the city with Key. And we know the last day that Key and Teresa went and used that house to meet, there was a man in a shawl watching them from across the street. And they didn't see him, but he saw them. And so it has to be the same person because the next day Key receives his letter and Stickles receives his letter. And then during the trial, the same person writes a letter to the jury telling them to convict Stickles. And so this is someone who clearly has an animus for both men. I worked with a handwriting expert. And I was able to exclude some people, but was never able to prove exactly who did it. But I talk about that investigation in the book. We did learn some interesting things, even if we don't know the writer's identity.
Well, I'll tell you, it is rapturing. I'll tell you, it's definitely going to hold your attention. So now this really triggers the 24/7 news cycle, right?
This is where it starts. I mean, you have technological changes with the lightning press, able to print newspapers later in the evening, closer to the time when they're supposed to hit the streets. You have multiple editions per day because people are hanging on every word and craving the latest detail. You know, when the Telegraph first came out, people shrugged their shoulders and said, what could be so important that we would need to learn about it the same day?
Right.
This is where our thirst for breaking news came. And when the Stickles case was done, the media went looking for the next scandal.
Exactly. Well, you mentioned, as we wrap things up, got about 30 seconds left here, Chris, that there were shocking firsthand diary and journal entries. Now, we're not going to be able to get into much depth of them. This is why you got to get your hands on the book, Star Spangled Scandal. Real quick, got about 20 seconds.
What's that?
Oh, about the diary and journal entries. But
We have the firsthand accounts of Teresa and of Stickles and of people who were observers of the case, lawyers in the case. I mean, really as close as we can get to interviewing the real people.
That's awesome. Well, Chris DeRose, he's a real person, and we just talked to him about his new book. Check it out.
Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call.
That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24-7 to help. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. That's 800-430-7694.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Officers at one of the busiest southern U.S. border crossings dealing with an angry mob just hours ago. U.S. border agents in Texas say the unruly group of people from El Salvador and Cuba were rushing the port of entry at the border in El Paso. Reports are the agents had to fire tear gas to get the mob to back off. The port of entry has since reopened. A report in the New York Times claims the White House is considering a deal where North Korea would stop production of new nuclear material in an effort to jumpstart negotiations on denuclearization. The National Security Advisor John Bolton denies the report. Retired Army General Stanley McChrystal says when it comes to North Korea, the U.S. probably should lower its expectations.
If we can maintain stability, I think that's about as good as we get.
And this is USA Radio News.
Does your business spend $500 a month or more on gas and electric bills? Did you know by making a simple free phone call, you can save up to 25% on your bill every month? What could you do with a 25% savings on utility bills every month? Energy deregulation is now available in your state. Making one simple phone call will show you how we can lower your gas and electric bills instantly, with no changes to your bill and no enrollment fee. This is a free service. The only thing you'll notice is a lower bill every month. Call U.S. Power and Light right now. Learn how easy it is to lower your utility bills for your business and save money. We promise. So if you spend over $500 a month on your gas and electric bills, please call right now and unleash your savings.
800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. That's 800-941-3381.
The truth. The whole truth. And nothing but the truth.
Thank God Almighty! We are free of that!
Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, we're back with you, America. Good to have you with us, sharing a part of your day. You know, we come to you live every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Go to BillMartinezLive.com. All the information is right there. Every day we post the list of our incredible guests that we have to share with you, including the next one who is back with us, author Clemens Cavallin. Is back with us to talk about On the Edge of Infinity. This is a biography of Michael D. O'Brien. You know, a most interesting and fascinating individual. I mean, his talents and giftings that God has blessed him with and what he has been able to relate back to us is most incredible. It's no wonder that Peter Kreeft refers to him as the greatest living Catholic novelist. But there is so much more to Michael O'Brien. This is why I'm glad that we could get Clemens back with us to talk more about On the Edge of Infinity, a biography of Michael O'Brien. Clemens, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Good to have you back with us, sir.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so the last time we got into this so quickly, because Michael O'Brien is such a fascinating character, but let's get back to you a bit and, you know, help us understand what led you to write On the Edge of Infinity.
As so many others, it began with Father Elijah, Michael's first published novel, which intrigued me, and this particular Catholic voice that I could hear through this story, how the story was told. And as I am a professor of religious studies, I started to write about Michael's work. Mm-hmm. But at one point, I thought, why shouldn't I meet him? Why shouldn't I go to Canada and speak with him? He's a living Catholic novelist, and as I discovered later also a painter. So through a friend, it was arranged, and it was a really special weekend. We had a whole weekend for each other for conversation about his work. And I think in that understanding and a relationship was founded. And it was only the second time when I returned that the idea of a biography emerged through this conversation.
Well, Clemens is, he says he's an associate professor in religious studies at the University of Gothenburg, Sweden. He's also an artist himself. So on the face of it, you and Michael O'Brien share a lot together, do you not?
Yeah, in a way, it's kind of funny because both of us have six children. And both of us have three boys and three girls, and we both write and paint as well. So it was funny in a sense, these similarities, but there are also significant differences which come, which flow from Michael's say strong choices in his life.
Mm-hmm.
He did not go to art school while I went to an art academy. He never went to university while I did a PhD and so forth and stayed there and continued to work at university. So he took a very different track, a much more independent track to withdraw into the wilderness and try to create a kind of inner center of Catholic creativity while I'm more the person writing about him, so to speak, and through doing art myself, I can understand his processes when he's struggling with his art and so on. But the two different vocations, one could say.
Well, did this give you some additional insight into God's grace and his sanctification? I mean, here he is. God operates in two men in similar ways, but yet diversely different, coming up, an interest in spiritual things, an interest in art, yours, more scholastically, and having benefit of, scholarly teaching and direction, and he out of his own wits. Kind of interesting, when you think about those two parallels.
I think for a real renewal of Catholic, spiritual, intellectual life. Of course, we will have different tasks and functions to perform, and you must be faithful to your own function,
exactly,
mission or vocation, what you speak, and not look at another person and say, oh, I wish to leave the university and live in the wilderness.
Right.
Until God says, yes, you should do that, my task will be... right now, I'm working at secular universities, which is a challenge when you want to research and write from a faithful Catholic perspective. It's the balance all the time.
Well, let me follow up on that for just a moment, though. Okay, so now you're involved with secular universities. How much of a challenge is that for you when you want to reference certain arguments or certain perspectives with your faith in God? Does that create a problem at these universities? Because obviously you are God-centered. And I can imagine that this probably just comes out of you naturally as you discuss certain things, and maybe for some universities like here in the States that are particularly God-sensitive, boy, I'll tell you, the hair on their back gets straight up, and they stiffen up and get quite resistant. Is that the same experience for you in Sweden?
Yeah, of course it is like that, but it's even more complicated in the sense that I had to make a decision on writing Michael's biography. Mm-hmm. I had to make a decision not to inject, to say, a psychoanalytic distance into it, which is more or less required by, not psychoanalysis always, but it's required by my discipline to act in a specific way. But here, I wanted to do something else. So it was to write this novel, to write it in an, it's very much written in a narrative where I want to show Michael's life. I want to, the reader should be able to walk with him. I didn't want to retreat to an academic scholarly distance and kind of dissect him. Mm-hmm. That was not my intention. And of course, to publish at even at Ignatius Press, in the system which awards you points, because it's like that in the West, you get points for your scholarly publications. I would get 0 points for doing this.
Right.
So I had to make a decision, but I think that was for me it was a very, very important decision to make.
Exactly. Michael O'Brien, On the Edge of Infinity, he reads your book. What does he say about it, about how you captured him?
Of course, it's in one sense, it's a strange experience for him to read about himself, of course. But I think he's grateful that I have, you say, captured his inner life. I think I can say that. And this is something he never could do himself, because he is a very humble person. To write about himself in this way would be, that would not be possible for him.
Yeah, sometimes we're just too close to it. Go ahead.
Yes, but also it's difficult to explain, but he's very keen on humility.
Yes.
And if you have done very great things, and you are almost, say, overzealous with humility, it becomes very difficult to describe these great things. And then perhaps another person has to step in and really do these kind of descriptions, give the narrative.
On the Edge of Infinity, a biography of Michael D. O'Brien. Clemens Cavallin is with us. Clemens is the associate professor in religious studies at the University of Gothenburg in Sweden. And our conversation will continue after the break. 18 minutes before the top of the hour right now.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Attention, this is a public notice from the Social Security Disability Helpline. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. If you suffer from physical or mental disability, whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, we can help. We'll evaluate your situation and deal with Social Security on your behalf. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. Remember, we only get paid if you win your case. There are many reasons and conditions that may make you eligible for disability benefits. Many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call now to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation.
800-368-0123. 800-368-0123. That's 800-368-0123.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. Did you know that I'm about 75% better? I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, I have to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What more could you want? Bill Martinez Live.
Hey, we're back with you, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, conversation with Clemens Cavalin continues. We're talking about his biography of Michael D. O'Brien, On the Edge of Infinity. 2 days with Mr. O'Brien, Clemens, and you're struck by his sense of humility. And I've been around people who exude humility in such an extraordinary way. For me, it was Billy Graham when I worked in his crusade in 1985 in Southern California. And to be around him, he exuded humility, but probably one, in much the same way as Michael O'Brien, didn't think of it. It just was, it was almost like a garment that he wore. Is that what you sense with Michael as well?
Yeah, I would say just people that you use a metaphor like that, I would say deeper than the garment. And it's also been formed through many, say, failures or adversities and sufferings through many, many years. It was only in the 1990s that he got to say a breakthrough with Father Elijah in 1996 when it was published. I think he was prepared during decades of struggle, because it's easy to be humble in a sense when you have success, but to be humble when you're really suffering, it's very hard. He was formed in a very hard school,
right?
So I think it's very much part of him. But I would like to add to that is there because I've been. At some point, I've been living in his house for a few days and so on. So I shared his prayer life. And the way he prays the Mercy Rosary, that is a very special thing.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of sinks into himself when he prays it. And I think it's you could combine humility with that kind of deep prayer. So it's not just an attitude or something. I think it's connected with this. falling down deep into himself, into his foundation in prayer.
Right, the totality of his humanity, mind, body, and spirit. And what you share there is profound, to be around someone and to partake in their prayer life like you did with Michael is real special and quite telling, is it not?
I think that for me that has been crucial. I've written a little small follow-up book to this biography just published in Canada, where I described this experience. And I think the experience was of how grace was operating through Michael without him knowing it.
Mm-hmm.
So he was, his home was very humble. His whole attitude, there was nothing fancy or nothing shiny and new in his home, but it was this deep prayer. And I could see by becoming so small, great things could happen through him. But it was the result of a very long, very difficult struggle.
What an experience for you. 2 days that you, I have this sense, Clemens, that you hold on to those 2 days even to this day, that it almost expands itself because there's only so much that you can immediately discern, but maybe down the road, and even as you've written this book on the edge of infinity, it allows you to apprehend more. I guess maybe a deeper understanding of who Michael is and what he brings to the body of Christ.
Especially important was his diaries, where I could go into his a lot of struggles, but also into his spiritual life, which contains all the mystical, almost all mystical, phenomena that you could meet. So there I met Michael as a spiritual, mystical person. And I think that is very important. That is his foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Deep, deep prayer life where he feels that he's absolutely nothing, totally inadequate for doing anything. That is his real feeling.
Uh-huh.
That's not just an attitude, so to speak.
Right.
From that, and he will have, say, visions and so on, but it's difficult to know if this is his imagination or more direct divine intervention. It doesn't matter that much. It's like getting an insight into a real Catholic imagination, so to speak, where the divine and the human interact.
Right. Now, he is vulnerable enough to open up his diaries to you. As you're going through his diaries, I mean, what is your immediate thought? I mean, you are reading, you know, his thoughts. You're getting a deeper understanding of Michael O'Brien in a way that nobody else on the planet is going to have an opportunity to experience.
I think, as we spoke earlier about different vocations, And for me, my vocation is to tell this to other persons, to make this available.
Mm.
And it's not my task to hold on to it, in a sense, because that is a temptation. When you find a treasure in your garden, of course, you want to have it for yourself, in one sense, but to give it away.
Yes.
So I appreciate very much this relationship with Michael. It's a real deep Catholic friendship. But I'm conscious all the time that my task is to do this kind of work.
Mm-hmm.
So
something that he himself would not do, but you're able to do. It's your gift, and it complements his gift. Yes, exactly.
Yes, but the temptation would be to, I don't know how to express this really, but to try to develop friendship in a way that it would belong to me more than to others.
Mm-hmm. So your friendship and relationship continues with Michael O'Brien to this day?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So,
but in this particular sense, it's very important to emphasize this. And I also think that it's important for what we spoke about earlier, a real Catholic Christian renewal of intellectual life. If you have the task of to tell something, it's not your task to hold on to it.
Mm. In writing On the Edge of Infinity, what most surprised you about Michael O'Brien?
That is a difficult thing. I'm not so easily surprised. It's more like I discovered things all mm-hmm. the time.
Mm-hmm.
New things, intriguing things, things that I would like to go deeper into. Just, for example, Michael's work with father's tape when he went to Russia mm-hmm. two times to do research, and his relationship to Eastern European literature, art, and spirituality, I could say. When I'm doing this interview, I'm sitting in Croatia.
Oh, okay.
By the coast in Croatia. I'm not in Sweden.
Okay.
And there's a story within the story in the biography of the relationship between Michael O'Brien and Croatia,
mm.
which is in itself worth a book. And, for example, of course, that was surprising for me to know that he had this relationship, which was more happened by, say, divine little things that happen that you don't plan.
Mm-hmm.
So that will just be one point.
Well, there's several, you know, I guess what some might call a common misconception about Michael O'Brien, and you clear up some of those in the book, right?
Yeah, I don't know what you what kind of misconception. It could be, for example, if you just read Father Elijah, to be thinking Michael is only doing apocalyptic fiction, for example, mm-hmm. that is his whole focus. But if you look at his novels, he's moving from theme to theme to theme. That was a particular time period in the 1990s where those more apocalyptic novels were written, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And many who have read these novels probably don't know that he's a painter.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. there will be a book published in November this year about Michael's art at the Ignatius Press. So if mm-hmm. you're more interested in that aspect, there will be a volume for that.
Well, you write that Michael and his wife Sheila seem to live their lives constantly searching the will of God. I think that expression is something that encourages all Catholics and Christians. Clemens Kavalin has been our guest, and his book, there's a lot of depth to this, On the Edge of Infinity. It will challenge your own walk with God as well. A biography of Michael D. O'Brien. Clemens, thank you so much for being back with us. Appreciate the time. God bless.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Maybe not today.